high-tech help arrives to look for the Flight 447 black boxes. Gulfstream Airlines says it will fight an FAA fine. And are failed check rides a big problem at the regionals? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, June 9th, 2009. A 26-foot French submarine called the Nautile is expected to arrive tomorrow or Thursday at the scene of the crash of Air France Flight 447 in the Atlantic Ocean. The craft was pulled from a research project to help find the flight data and cockpit voice recorders from the Airbus A330, thought to lie on a mountainous ocean floor 13,000 feet below the surface. Nautile has made numerous dives on the North Atlantic wreck of the Titanic. The sub carries a three-person crew and has multiple cameras and panoramic sonar to help locate the devices. If they're found, robotic arms will be used to pick them up off the ocean floor. French officials are not optimistic the recorders will ever be found, but safety investigators say it's urgently important to know what could bring down a modern airliner in an area where several other planes passed without incident the same night. Gulfstream Airlines, hit last week with a proposed fine of $1.3 million by the FAA, says it's preparing a response to charges it overscheduled pilots and violated other regulations. CEO David Hackett tells the South Florida Sun-Sentinel that in a couple of extremely isolated instances, records show scheduling discrepancies that were the result of human error. Quote, "In no case did anyone here do anything wrong on purpose. Scheduling may extend out because of a storm or something," unquote. FAA spokeswoman Laura Brown agrees there's no evidence the airline deliberately falsified records, but says the discrepancies make it impossible to prove Gulfstream pilots followed FAA work rules. The agency says it found six pilots whose rest times had been violated and numerous problems in flight time records from a 2008 inspection. Former Gulfstream pilot Kenny Edwards, who filed the whistleblower complaint that spurred the review of the airline by the FAA, says he was fired in December 2007 because he would not fly an aircraft he thought was unsafe. An analysis of federal aircraft accident records by USA Today reveals that in nearly every serious regional airline accident of the past decade, at least one of the pilots had failed check rides more than once. The paper's analysis follows revelations that Continental Connections Flight 3407's 47-year-old captain, Marvin Renslow, had failed five check rides during his flying career, two of which the flight's operator, Colgan Air, had not known about. USA Today found that of nine fatal accidents among the regionals over the period, in which a total of 137 people died, only one did not involve multiple failed check rides by a pilot. And in that one, the first officer was later fired for falsifying his job application. Regional Airline Association President Roger Cohen defends the industry's safety practices, telling the paper, quote, "All of our members are flying under the exact same standards as the mainline carriers," unquote. Up next on ANN, a worldwide tax to fight global warming may be near. Hawker Beechcraft stays competitive on parts. And No Plane, No Gain gets more support. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 9th. I'm Paul Platt. 192 countries meeting at the UN climate talks in Bonn, Germany, have proposed a fee to be levied on international flight tickets and a companion surcharge on fuel used for shipping cargo that would be earmarked for fighting climate change. The fee would presumably raise $10 billion a year through a 1% tax. The money would be administered to developing nations threatened by rising seas and crop losses. In a report in The Guardian, Connie Hedegaard, the Danish Environment and Energy Minister who will host the final UN climate summit in December, commented, quote, "People are beginning to understand that innovative ideas could generate a lot of money. The Danish shipping industry, which is one of the world's largest, has said that a truly global system would work well. Denmark would endorse it," unquote. Is taxing everything that moves really an innovative idea? If man-made global climate change is real, Is $10 billion to fix it even a drop in the bucket? Have we discovered some new way to prevent the corruption typical of programs like this? Call me a cynic, but I have questions. With a recession putting the pinch on both aerospace manufacturers and aircraft owners, Hawker Beechcraft is announcing a limited-time program to make sure its parts are competitive with any other supplier. Under the program, all parts, including rotable and expendable parts, are subject to a price matching program. The plan is being administered through HBC's RAPID, short for Rapid Aircraft Parts Inventory and Distribution. The company says customers simply need to provide a RAPID customer service rep and proof of a competitor's price at the time of the order. All competitive quotes must be for parts in like condition and quantity. Find details at www.hawkerbeechcraft.com/rapid. The destructive combined effects of political class warfare and airline propaganda on business aviation has drawn at least two more rebuttals. In a Sunday editorial, Georgia's Savannah Morning News points out that corporate jets rarely carry fat cat CEOs to golf dates, but rather the majority of the passengers are marketing and technical people, serving customers not located convenient to the 500 commercial airports served by the airlines. The paper, published in the hometown of Gulfstream, says the beneficial impact of the company to the economy of Georgia was $737 million last year. The editorial's title, No Plane, No Gain, is also the name of a PR campaign launched recently by NBAA and Gamma. Somebody working in communications has earned a bonus. Meanwhile, Greg Ehrman, VP of Business and Regional Systems for Rockwell Collins, shot back at politicians who cast business aircraft as lavish perks, saying the comments are contributing to economic damage. Quote, "They're not luxury items. They're business tools. People who fly often for business on commercial jets understand this," unquote. Ehrman tells the Cedar Rapids Gazette that he made a trip the Monday after Easter from Cedar Rapids to a business meeting at Rockwell Collins facility in Melbourne, Florida. Had the private jet been available, he could have made the entire round trip the same day of the meeting and worked on the plane during the 3.5-hour flight in both directions. Instead, traveling by airline required leaving Sunday and returning Tuesday, two overnight hotel stays, meals and a rental car, and the lost productivity of 2 3-hour layovers in Atlanta. Still ahead, the airlines will lose twice as much money as first thought in 2009. The Blue Angels are ready to break some glass over Arizona. And a rare chance to go back in time happens this weekend. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, June 9th. I'm Paul Plack. In a harsh counterpoint to those who believe the recession has bottomed, the International Air Transport Association's latest forecast says the world's airlines will lose a combined $9 billion this year. The Associated Press reports that's double the losses IATA predicted just 3 months ago. IATA Chief Executive Giovanni Bisignani told the group's 65th Annual General Meeting in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia yesterday, quote, "There is no modern precedent for today's economic meltdown. The ground has shifted. Our industry has been shaken. This is the most difficult situation that the industry has faced," unquote. He added that protectionism could make things worse, and that continuing the open skies trend would help stem losses for everyone. Quote, "It would be a cheap and effective stimulus. Liberalizing key routes today would create 24 million jobs and $490 billion in economic activity," unquote. Ironically, a loss of $9 billion this year would actually be an improvement over last year. IATA's official estimates of worldwide airline financial losses in 2008 have been revised upward from their earlier $8.5 to now $10.4 billion U.S. Apparently, it's been long enough since Chuck Yeager's historic flights that the ability of a sonic boom to shatter glass on the ground is now considered a myth. So, it's to be the subject of tomorrow's episode of the Mythbusters TV show on the Discovery Channel. Back in February, the show's producers teamed with the Blue Angels for a test on a section of the Barry M. Goldwater Range in southwest Arizona. That's the only approved supersonic test corridor available over the continental U.S. Crews built a small shed with a window, parked a car nearby with the windows rolled up, and set up glassware on a table. Two Blue Angels FA-18 Hornets then zipped over the test area, directing the sonic boom toward the ground as they passed at 8,000, 2,000, 500, and 200 feet AGL. Captain Tyson Dunkelberger, the Blue Angels' public affairs officer, says he came up with the idea for the test a year ago. His motives? Simple. Quote, "An event like this is a great public relations opportunity. If we can inspire someone watching the show to think about joining the military, then the Blue Angels have done their job." Unquote. So, what happened? Well, that's still highly classified. They want you to watch and see tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Discovery Channel. Personally, I'm betting there won't be much glass left unshattered after the 500-foot pass. And finally today, after a childhood spent building model airplanes and a stint as an infantryman in World War II, Cole Palin trained to be an aircraft mechanic at New York's Roosevelt Aviation School on Long Island. His discovery there of a small museum of World War I planes inspired his dream to become the founder and creator of the old Rhinebeck Aerodrome at Rhinebeck, New York. The aerodrome was started on a farm where an unsolved murder had taken place. Cole was able to acquire the place for payment of back taxes. His first six aircraft came from that little museum at Roosevelt Field, which had closed in 1951. He won them in a bid that cost his life savings. Upgrading from repurposed chicken coops and homemade hangars, Rhinebeck grew to become a major aviation attraction in the region, featuring aerial period melodramas played out in authentic original and replica aircraft every weekend of the summer. After suffering a stroke in 1993, Cole saw the writing on the wall and created the Rhinebeck Aerodrome Museum Foundation to enable the museum to continue after he was gone. The decision came just in time. That winter, while his wife Rita was hospitalized following a stroke of her own, Cole died in his sleep. Rita recovered and continued running operations until her own death in 2002. This coming weekend, the fruits of their labor and foresight will be on display as the old Rhinebeck Aerodrome's golden anniversary season gets underway. A barnstorming air show happens Saturday. On Sunday, it's mock dogfights between biplanes of the Great War and a cameo appearance by the evil Black Baron of Rhinebeck and his red 1918 DR-1 Fokker triplane. Among the featured planes are the aerodrome's 1909 Blériot 11 that is 100 years old this year and still flying, and one of the last flying original Curtis Jennies in the world. The following weekend, a $75 Father's Day special combines admission with a ride in a 1929 New Standard biplane, the very type in which Cole Palin got his first ride at age 10 in 1935. Find out more about this summer's season at www.oldrhinebeck.org. That's R-H-I-N-E-B-E-C-K. Cole and Rita did their best, but it's hard to know how much longer the chance to directly experience the early days of powered flight will remain available. Go see it and do it while you can, before the TSA decides Cole's old Sopwith snipe might be a terrorist weapon waiting to happen. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ASTM compliance consultant Ed Downs explains the circumstances surrounding the FAA's reopening of comment windows on petitions to allow gyroplanes to be sold factory-built as experimental light sport aircraft in the U.S. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.